أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لفاقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. We have started the Imamat subject, the series of lessons on Imamat. And like I said in the first lesson, the earlier lesson, that our discussion shall be focusing on certain points. In the beginning, in the first lesson, today is the second lesson. In the first lesson, we discussed the definition of Imamat and Walayat, and short introduction to the subject. A short introduction because Imamat and Walayat is the most talked about subject of Islam, and it has the largest number of details mentioned as compared to any subject in Islam. So that's why I said a short introduction as compared to the huge information that we have been told about the subject. Like I said, the largest chunk of information Islam informed us is about Imamat and Walayat. And if somebody asks you that which subject in Islam is the subject which is most talked about in the whole religion, the answer will be the Walayat and Imamat. So the first lesson that already ended last week, we discussed the definition of Imamat and Walayat and the introduction in short words. And the second point is about why do we need an imam, and that's the subject of discussion today. I have 9 evidences in Dalil to furnish about why do we need an imam, and then of course, like I said, we will discuss in the future lessons, inshallah, the attributes and sifat of every imam as a concept of Islam, what sifat and attributes of Islam wants to see in every imam, what sifat must be available in every imam. And then we will come to the point that who has the right to appoint, which will be the fourth point, and then we will mention the concept of Imamat al-Walayat in the light of the Holy Quran, and later the concept of Imamat al-Walayat in the light of Hadith of the Holy Prophet, the tradition of the Holy Prophet, and then the seventh point will be the difference between Ithna Ashari community and others about the concept of Imamat, which is also one of the most important aspects of this discussion. And the eighth point will be about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, our trusted Imam, the awaited savior of the whole world. And the last will be about Walayatul Faqih, the leadership and Walayat governance concept of the jurisprudent who is Adil, and the preparation for the appearance of our trusted Imam. So our today's lesson, let's come to the topic of why we need an Imam. Nine evidences. The first, at-takamul al-ma'nawi, the spiritual perfection for the human beings. We human beings are the most superior creation of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. We have a long way to go towards our spiritual perfection and ma'navi perfection and ruhani and spiritual perfection. It's true that the human being has been awarded with aql and intellect, but the aql and intellect, if remains in the pure form, can only guide us to the point that we need to worship one creator. But how the worship should be executed, aql simply is unable to guide and unable to have any access towards the knowledge of the unseen, which is out of the realm and limits of aql. That's precisely why the aql of a person must take him to the point that he should submit voluntarily to the absolute knowledge and absolute power and strength of Allah, our Creator, and submit ourselves to the commands of the Creator, which he informed us through his revelation and wahi. The peak of aql and intellect is submission to the Creator's commands and orders. So, intellect can inform me that how I'm supposed to do my I should thank Allah. He is my mun'im. He is the one who provided ni'mats and blessings to me. I must thank the one who provides blessings to me. How should I thank? I have no idea. No intellect of any human can inform him how should he worship Allah. We need a prophet, and we need the revelation which comes on the prophet as a means to understand. And we need likewise the divine knowledge of the unseen, in short words, to understand how we are supposed to do our prayers. You have to pray five times a day, and what are the details of the prayers, and how we are supposed to perform our Hajj, and how we are supposed to perform our give our zakat and khums and fitra and fasting and all the details of worship. Just like the human beings require the prophets at all times, just like the jinns require the prophets for their guidance too at all times, similarly, the humans are the same humans without a difference. Since we all know that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the messengers, and we discussed all that in the earlier series of lessons about the prophethood concept, which has ended already. We discussed all those evidences that he is the seal of the messengers. So, given the fact that the humans are the same humans, their spiritual needs are the same needs, we still require a guide who can lead us towards spiritual perfection, which we all need throughout our life. And that is because of the fact that without a guide we can always go astray towards inhiraf and misguidance, and we can always be led towards doing things which are not considered to be ibadat and worship of Allah, swaying towards the directions which is leading us towards misguidance and hell. This point is the point where the Qa'idatul Lutf arrives. We have a law in Ilmul Kalam, the knowledge of Islamic beliefs, which we call the law of Lutf of Allah. What is the Lutf of Allah? Let me first define the definition of Lutf, the special blessing. Lutf means a special blessing of God. The Lutf is defined as ما يقرب العبد إلى الطاعة ويبعده عن المعصية. That specific blessing of Allah which makes a person, a servant of God, a slave of God, close to the obedience and distances him from the sin. That specific blessing of Allah which makes a servant close to the obedience and away from the sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the law of Lutf, Qa'idatul Lutf, is obliged, although no one can oblige Allah for doing anything, we already discussed that, but I'm just saying that in the regular terms, Allah himself feels obliged. We cannot oblige him to do anything, but he himself feels obliged to provide his lutf for us, and that lutf is in the form of providing a constant guide for the humankind for their spiritual success and perfection. All those evidences which we have already furnished for the prophethood, all those evidences arrive for the concept of imamat, because in the same way the humankind requires a prophet for their guidance. At the end of the series of prophets, in the same way the humankind requires an imam, one after the other. A human does not live forever. As soon as one prophet passes away and he is the seal of the prophets, the needs of the humans do not get changed. There has to be a spiritual guide who can guide us in the same way towards the perfection of the soul. Allah created us. The purpose of creation is ibadat. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and the humans except to worship me. So in some of the texts of Islam, we find the purpose of our creation to be the ibadat and worship of Allah. We find in the Hadith al-Qudsi that Allah has said, "Kuntu kanzan makhfiyya," I was a hidden treasure, fa ahbabtu an u'raf, so I love to be known, فَخَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقَ لِكَيْ أُعْرَفْ, so I created certain specific creations so that I be known. People have my recognition and ma'rifat. So in the light of this Hadith al-Qudsi, we understand that the creation was acquiring the ma'rifat of Allah. And in the last verse of Surah At-Talaq, where Allah says, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, so that you know that Allah has the strength on everything and He has knowledge. He's قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا, and He is muhit over everything. His knowledge engulfs everything. So in the light of this verse of Holy Quran, we understand, which is the last verse of Surah At-Talaq, we understand that the purpose is knowing the ilm and qudrat of Allah, the absolute knowledge and absolute power of Allah. The humans realize that Allah is absolutely knowledgeable and absolutely powerful, knowing about the ilm and qudrat of Allah. And also in another verse of Holy Quran, Surah Ibrahim, verse number 1, where Allah says that كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلَمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, the book that we have sent down to you so that you can take the people out of the darknesses towards the Noor. So in the light of this verse of Holy Quran, we realize that the purpose is making us, taking us out of the darknesses towards the Noor, so that we ourselves become Noorani. And basically, like my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Rahmatullah was saying in his tafsir, that this ayat actually is the one which informs us about the final goal of the creation of the human being. Having mentioned all the different goals in the light of different hadith and ayat of Quran, the final goal that a human being is supposed to reach is that he becomes Noorani. This is the peak of our ma'naviyat and spirituality. So, a human is created to reach the peak of its spiritual goal, which is becoming Noorani. And this requires a guide. Just exactly the same way the people living in the time of the Holy Prophet required a spiritual guide to guide them every step of the way for doing all the worships which facilitate us to acquire the ma'rifat, which facilitates us to acquire the knowledge about the sifat and attributes of Allah, which facilitates us to acquire and to become Noorani spiritually. Just like the human beings in the time of the Holy Prophet required a guide, similarly the humans after him also require a guide. The needs of the humans are the same needs without a change. And the law of lutf is the same law which Allah constantly provides His lutf for the humans, that brings them closer to His obedience every step of the way and distances them away from the sins. And no one other than an infallible imam and guide can keep the people away from zulm and the oppressors and the transgressors and tawaghit. And this is an obligation on Allah from His own self, Himself, that He always provides all what the humans need for their survival, not just physical but spiritual needs as well. That's His own obligation from His side on Himself for our spiritual survival and uplift and elevation and perfection. Allah, which are the most significant needs of our life, more than our physical and bodily needs, Allah feels Himself obliged to provide the needs that we need spiritually at all times. So we find that similarly, what happened in the munazara, in the debate between Hisham ibn al-Hakam, who was the companion of Imam Qasim alayhi salam, with Amr ibn Ubaid al-Mu'tazili, when Hisham asked him the question, Amr ibn Ubaid al-Mu'tazili is one of the great big scholars of the Mu'tazili community in those days, and he was delivering a lesson where Hisham ibn al-Hakam came and posed certain questions which seemed to be very simple and asked him, do you have eyes? And he said, yes, so it's a very simple thing. Why are you asking this kind of question? He said, well, my questions are like this. If you want to answer, fine. So he said, okay, continue. Yes, I have eyes. He said, do you have ears? Yes, I have. What do you do with your eyes? I see. What do you do with your ears? I listen. Voices. Do you have tongue? Yes, he said, yes, I have a tongue. What do you do with your tongue? I speak. And then he said, do you have hands? Yes, I have hands. What do? I do certain things, certain actions with my hands. Well, do you have a nose? Yes, I have. What do? I smell with my nose. Do you have akal and intellect? He said, yes, I have. So what do? He said, if my eyes or ears or other senses make a mistake in things that I perform with these parts of the body, my akal and intellect, the job of the akal is to guide me and straighten the mistake done by my senses. And that's where, at this response, Hisham ibn al-Hakam said that the same Allah who has provided you akal to straighten the mistakes that may be committed by other senses and other parts of your body, do you think the same Allah is going to leave this nation without a spiritual guide? And Amr ibn Ubaid said, are you a student of Imam Qasim alayhi salam? So the point to remember is that a human being, apart from our capabilities that we have in our body, we require spiritual guide to constantly guide us towards the worship and towards the obedience of Allah and towards becoming Nurani, which is the final goal of our creation, which Allah Himself feels obliged from His own side, from His own self, to provide this lutf for us. And He constantly provides the guides. Every messenger had a wasi and a khalifa, and likewise our Holy Prophet also has imams one after the other. This is what we call the spiritual and ma'navi takamul and perfection for a human being, which is a constant need of our survival. The second evidence to remember is the hifz and protection of the book and the shariat of Allah. In Islamic philosophy, we have a proverb we say that adallu ma dalla ala inkani shay'in wuku'uhu. The most significant evidence for the possibility of a thing, whether a thing is possible or not, is happening of the thing. If the thing happens, it's the best evidence to understand that it was possible to happen. It has already happened. So the best evidence for us to understand that we need an imam to protect the Sharia and the book from inhiraf and tahrif, from misguidance and alteration in the books, is that it has already happened with other religions and other sects who do not believe in the concept of imam of Islam. We have only one religion of God in the Deen Indallah al-Islam. Every prophet propagated Islam, starting from Prophet Adam and Prophet Noah and Ibrahim and Moses, Prophet Musa, and Jesus, Prophet Isa. Everyone propagated Islam with a little bit differences in the minor differences in the Sharia matters, which kept on changing according to the needs of the time, which makes sense. A little bit changes in the Sharia, but all the bottom line, all propagated Islam and all were Muslims. So look at what is the situation of other faiths. Their books have been altered. You can find more than 40 versions of the Bible, maybe more than 40 or maybe even more available in the market, and none of them are the real Bibles. The real Bible, none of them is the real Bible. The real Bible we respect. It's compulsory for every Muslim to respect the real Bible and the real Torah, but you can never find the real Bible or the real Torah any longer in the market. So what has already happened in front of our eyes by others is the biggest evidence to remember that the humankind requires a guide who is infallible, who practices the Sharia to the utmost and fullest himself, and he then will be eligible to protect the book and protect the Sharia. Those who are themselves not practicing the book to the fullest and not practicing the Sharia to the utmost and fullest limits and the perfect way are unable to protect, and thus the Sharia will be lost to the desires and wishes of the humans or the elite upper rich class, upper influential class, who will always would like to change and alter the book and the Sharia to fit their pleasures and conveniences and luxuries of life. And that exactly has happened. On our side in Islam, there are certain other sects who could not change the book, because God has promised and the infallible Imam, Imam Mahdi al-Islam, is alive to protect the book and the Sharia, so they are unable to change the book itself, the words of the book itself. But by denying the concept of the 12 Imams, they have themselves misled themselves to misunderstand the meanings of the book. So they did the tahrif al-ma'navi of the book. They could not do the tahrif al-lafzi, at-tahrif al-lafzi, the altering the apparent words. They could not do that because the infallible Imam, Imam Mahdi al-Islam, is there. So they could not do that, but they did the tahrif al-ma'navi. They altered the meanings and interpretations and tafsir of the verses, and that's again an evidence, because they themselves are not ready to accept the 12 Imams. Which that's exactly why they altered the tafsir and the interpretation, and they ended up into misguidances and variety of opinions. As the book is revealed on a prophet, it's always in the pure form, because prophet is infallible. But as the teachings of the book and the verses of the book arrive into the hands of the masses, since the masses are not infallible, they are fallible, the teachings end up getting mixed up with inhirafat, alterations in the meanings, خرافات, senseless customs, موهومات, imaginary and senseless ideas, and thus ends up into a mixture of good and bad. There has to be a spiritual guide after the Holy Prophet, exactly in the same way how the Holy Prophet was protecting the Sharia in the book, by first of all by practicing, by knowing it to the fullest and practicing it to the fullest and implementing it to the fullest. Similarly, there has to be a guide having the similar level of knowledge of the books so that he can practice it to the fullest, know it to the fullest, practice it to the fullest, and implement it on the society or those around him to the fullest. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in Nahj al-Balagha, that's kalima qasira, among the kalimat al-qasar, number 147, Allahumma bala, la taqla al-arz min qa'imin lillahi bihujjatin. Certainly the earth cannot survive with someone who stands for the sake of Allah with the hujjat. Imma zahiran mashhuran, either that someone who stands for the sake of Allah with the hujjat, that imam, that hujjat of Allah is either openly, apparently known, and or khaifan maghmuran, or he is, in other words, hidden. He's not known, he's in the hiding, he's hidden. لِأَلَّا تَبْطُلَ حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ وَبَيِّنَاتُهُ, so that the hujjats of Allah do not become batil, and the bayinat, the evidences of Allah, do not go in vain, do not go batil. So the hujjats should survive, they survive through the imam, and the bayinat of Allah, the evidences of God, survive through the imam. The third evidence about why the humans need an imam is the political leadership and guidance of the society. Every set of humans at all times, all societies require government. The humans by nature require a rule and governance over them. Even among the animals there's rule. Except that for the animal, it's the most powerful who always overwhelms the weaker animals. But as far as the rule itself is concerned, it's something which is shared between us and the animals. We all do, by our nature and instinct, require a rule and government over us. Whether the rulers, and rulers have always been ruling over the humanity, whether they were good or bad, they were fasiq or adil, they were Muslim or kafir, whatever, but they were rulers, which is again another evidence that it's something which has been, the human society has never been void of rule, because it's a desire, it's a need of our nature. So you can never, something which is deep-rooted into our nature, you can never find that something which is deep-rooted into our nature, that thing is unavailable. It will always be available because it's something natural. And since our desires are mixed up with our need of the nature, we end up into un-Islamic situations and things. Islam has a preset formula that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints his imams and rulers for the human society. The human beings never accepted this basic principle of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should appoint a ruler for them. And the humans always tried and are still trying to appoint or elect rulers for themselves. So up till this date, majority of the human beings failed to understand the basic rules from Allah. You do not have the right to choose your own ruler and leader. it's up to Allah to decide, which we will come to the point when who has the right to decide the ruler. But I'm just mentioning it in the sidelines, which is related to our evidence. So whenever the humans decide their own rulers, they will always take care of their interests. They will always take care of the, or they will take care of the interests of the elite class, or the influential lobbies, or the upper class, or the rich class, or the most influential class of the people who have the biggest role in the society, or in taking care of our interests, or providing things that we need in our, conveniences that we need in our life. We will take care of their interests, those interest groups, those influential upper classes, by neglecting the rights and the needs of the rest of the humanity. And any person who comes up who is not appointed by Allah is a zalim, is an oppressor. Just occupying the position of government itself, the position of imamat itself, by somebody who is not appointed by the Creator itself is a zulm. Although he may himself be adil and just. That's precisely why in the Shariat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, anyone who makes himself to be the imam of the time, of the people, of the humankind, even for an adil mu'min, it's not allowed in the Sharia, it's not jaiz in the Sharia that he becomes the imam and ruler of the Islamic Ummah. In the presence of an jama'u shara'it mujtahid, a mujtahid who fulfills the conditions, it's not allowed for an adil, regular mu'min to come and become the ruler. What to talk of a fasiq, and what to talk of a non-Muslim kafir? Not even an adil mu'min is allowed to rule over the Islamic Ummah in the presence of the jama'u shara'it mujtahid. So we find Allah, when Allah is appointing a ruler for the human society, He's taking care of two fundamental things. That one is as-sa'adatul abadiyya, the eternal success of the humans, and number two, as-sa'adatul ma'naviyya, the spiritual success of the humans. Any human being which is appointed to rule over us humans, if we humans appoint or elect or select or impose any ruler over ourselves without that ruler being appointed by Allah or in the light of His guidance, any ruler appointed by us can never be able to ensure these two fundamental points and focus points of Islam, as-sa'adatul abadiyya, eternal success, and as-sa'adatul ma'naviyya, the spiritual success. Because we humans do not know what the soul is, we humans do not know what is the needs of the alamul malakut, the world of the hidden realities, we humans do not know the alamul ghaib, the world of the unseen. We do not have access to the knowledge of the unseen, and we do not have knowledge of what benefits our soul, and we do not have knowledge what benefits our spirituality, and what benefits our eternal success in the life after death. We do not have no idea about that life and what benefits there and what benefits our soul. And we are unable to appoint somebody who can rule over the human society and ensure the eternal success and spiritual success of the entire human society under his governance and rule. So we find the Holy Quran, that's only an infallible ma'soom who can do, who knows that, and that's why he's the only one who is supposed to rule. And since we humans do not have no knowledge of the soul, or the world of ghaib, or what benefits of a soul, or what can guarantee our spiritual and eternal success, so we don't have the right to appoint either somebody who can rule over our society. So we find that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has said, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطْرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمِ. That's in Surah Ar-Rum, verse number 30. So set your face for the religion, حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطْرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the means of His Sharia, has created the humans on the fitrat, on the nature, and there is no change in the creation of Allah. That's the established religion. By human nature, we are inclined towards having a government, and that natural desire has to be maintained in the right way so that our nature is not tainted and impaired. The fourth evidence is about Itmamul Hujjah. Allah has said, قُلْ فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. Surah An'am, verse 150, say, for Allah only is the Hujjatul Baligha. Allah always fulfills the Hujjat and completes His Hujjat and fulfills it to the utmost and highest level. And without fulfilling His Hujjat and evidence on all, He does not punish. رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. That's in Surah An-Nisa, verse 165. Allah sent, in other words, Allah sent the messengers giving the good and glad tidings and basharat, and munzirin, warners. So the job of the prophets was to give the good news and the warnings. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةِ, so that there shall be no hujjat for the people against Allah. After the messengers have arrived, people do not have no hujjat and evidence remaining in their hand against Allah. Everything they need to know, they already have known. Now, if they want to lead a life towards misguidance and destruction, they are themselves, after knowing the knowledge of from the unseen world provided by the messengers, which was key to their spiritual and eternal success. If they still want to lead a life that takes them towards misguidance, they are doing that knowingly and intentionally. Just like Allah fulfills His Hujjah through the prophets, like I said, after the seal of the messengers, the humans are the same humans with the same needs and the same desires, which are constantly misleading us. So we constantly require the evidences from God's behalf to be fulfilled against us on daily basis, and there has to be a spiritual guide of the same level of knowledge of the previous prophet and the same level of infallibility of the previous prophet, practicing the entire Sharia and the book to the fullest, just like the prophet in his practice, and fulfilling the evidences on God's behalf constantly for the humankind, for the children who are born today. The evidences of God need to be fulfilled on them as well. There is no difference between these children and those children. Otherwise, this generation had the right to complain before Allah on the Day of Judgment. You fulfilled the evidence for those who were at that time of the Prophet. What about us? Who was the one from your behalf fulfilling the evidence and informing us with all those informations that we needed to know? Present right among us, between us, and fulfilling the evidences. Otherwise, the punishment of Allah would become wrong. It would be wrong to punish without fulfilling the evidence. وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا. Allah never punishes. So basically, the Itmam Hujjat has to be done before the punishment arrives. Allah wants the evidences of Haqq to be completed and fulfilled and told and known so that the jahil and ignorant person becomes alim and knowledgeable, and the alim and knowledgeable person becomes qawi and strong on his knowledge, and the Hujjat gets completed, and everyone does what he is doing knowingly. Right or wrong, do it knowingly. You do want to do right, do it knowingly. You want to go wrong knowingly. So that on the day of judgment, you cannot complain before Allah, nobody told me, otherwise I would have been guided. That's the Itmam al-Hujjat, and that's the job of the Imam. And the fifth evidence, before I finish my speech and rest of the four we will continue later, is about the fact that Imam of the time is the wasatatul faiz, the faiz and mercy, the faiz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wasata and means. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has means for everything. Everything he performs through means. He provides revelation, he provides through Jibreel. And this is not shirk. That's the way Allah himself has set rules for himself. Nobody can set rules for Allah. The Holy Prophet has said in the hadith, أَبَاللَّهُ أَنْ يُجْرِيَ الْأُمُورِ إِلَّا بِأَسْبَابِهَا. Allah never performs his things, his affairs, except through the means. He himself has set these rules for himself. He performs his actions and jobs through means. All the jobs of his are done through different means. And he is the creator of the means. He is Khaliqul Asbab and the Musabbibul Asbab, and the one who arranges the asbab and the causes of things. And he creates the asbab and causes. So he performs his things, his jobs through means which he himself has created. And this is his own choice, his own principle. He himself laid down the principle. So he sends the wahi through Jibreel. He sends the rizq through Mikael. He sends death through Israel, Malakul Maut. He sends rain through certain other angels. All the jobs are done by different means. He himself has set those rules. Nobody can set rules for Allah. He himself has set those rules. For the sake of ittisal and connection of the human being living on this material world, which we call it Alamul Nasut, Alamul Madda, material world where we are living, in order for our spiritual and eternal success, we need, since we have something called a soul in our body, which belongs to the Alam al-Tajarrud, the metaphysical world, and for our spiritual and bodily success in this life and in the hereafter, eternal success there and spiritual success, we need laws from that world, world of the unseen. We need rulings and information and guidance from the unseen world, Alamul Ghaib, so basically we need a connection between Alamul Shuhud and Alamul Ghaib, from between Alamul Madda and Alamul Malakut. We need a connection. We need a person who is mutakhalliq, who has all the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the attributes, and then he should be the mazhar and reflection of all the attributes and names of Allah. He practices the Sharia and the Quran to the fullest. He has access to the knowledge of the ghaib. He serves as a wasitatul faiz, as a means of the blessings of Allah coming through him to the entire world. Actually to the entire universe, not just this dunya. And that's the Imam of the time after the Rasul, after the Messenger. There has to be somebody who is the wasata and means of the blessing of Allah. Blessing of Allah does not stop after the Holy Prophet. Can anybody say Allah stopped providing his blessings after the Holy Prophet? No. It's a constant blessing blessings showering over the whole universe, coming every moment of our life. There are uncountable blessings of God arriving for the whole universe. Who is the means of that blessing? Blessings of God are coming through whom? For the whole universe. There has to be a means. There has to be a means for every affair of Allah. There has to be a means for the affairs of Allah as well. So we find the Wasitatul Faiz is, there has to be a person who is the most perfect reflection of every name and every attribute of God present at all times after the Prophet as well, and serves as the Wasitatul Faiz. Look at the Ziyaratul Jami'ah. Bikum yunazzalul ghayth. Through you we address all the 12 Imams. We address the Ahlul Bayt. Through you Allah sends down the rain. بِكُمْ يُمْسِكُ اللَّهُ السَّمَاءَ أَنْ تَقَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. It's through you that Allah is holding the heavens not to fall on earth except with His permission. إِنْ ذُكِرَ الْخَيْرِ كُنْتُمْ أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ وَمَعْدِنَهُ وَمَعْوَاهُ وَمُنْتَهَاهُ. Whenever khair and goodness is mentioned, you guys are the one who are the asl. You are the beginning of all khair and goodness. You are the end of all khair and goodness. You are the asl and root of all khair and goodness. You are the ma'din and mineral of all khair and goodness. And you are the refuge and ma'wa of all khair and goodness. And you are the peak and muntaha of all khair and goodness. Every goodness comes through them. And we find Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said, لَوْلَ اللَّهُ مَا عُرِفْنَا وَلَوْلَا نَحْنُ مَا عُرِفَ اللَّهُ. If Allah was not there, nobody would have our ma'rifat. Nobody would be able to have the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt. And if we were not there, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt's ma'rifat. And if Prophet and Ahlul Bayt were not there, no one would have recognized Allah. Nobody would have the ma'rifat of Allah. So if Allah was not there, nobody would have the ma'rifat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And if Prophet and Ahlul Bayt were not there, no one would have had the ma'rifat of Allah. So they are the means for the ma'rifat of Allah. They are the means for the ibadat of Allah. They are the means for all the ma'navi and the maddi blessings which we receive. All the faiz in its entirety and totality that the humankind is receiving from God constantly, which is uncountable blessings of God, are coming through the Imam of the time for the whole universe and then distributed according to the istidad, according to what everybody is mustahak and istihqaq of every person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah provides the risk to everyone without hisab, which my teacher was saying in Tafsir actually, it does not mean that Allah gives without accountability. Allah provides everything according to what the bottom line is, that Allah is the one who provides every ni'mat to anyone who deserves it as much as he deserves it. The faiz of Allah comes through the Imam of the time and then it's distributed to every recipient according to what that recipient deserves to get. And that's the adl of Allah. And we find that since we all are non-ma'soom, we do require a ma'soom person who is mustajab al-da'wah, whose dua is accepted. He is maqbool al-shafa'ah. His shafa'at and favor are accepted by Allah. And he is the one who serves and can serve as wasatatul faiz, the means of all the faiz and blessings of God to reach us. And since we constantly require the faiz and blessings from Allah, we constantly also require a wasita and means of the faiz. A wasita who is wajih, abrumand, respectable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much and sorry for the 5-minute delay. We'll continue for the rest of the 4 evidences about why we need an imam in the next lesson inshallah, so that the total comes to be 9 evidences. Thank you.
If you would like to participate in these online lecture series, please visit www.al-asr.org. The website once again.